Joining us now, he's a senior writer with the Action Network. Jason Sobel joins us. Jason, welcome in.
What's up, fellas? I had the pleasure of hanging out for the weekend in your home state of North Carolina. Man, I just had a great time. So, buddy's golf trip to get away for a few days.
Yeah, I saw you were getting some serious golf, and how's the game?
The game has seen better days. It was okay, though. It was enough to let my partners carry me, and I didn't hurt them too much. I'll make it that way.
Well, hopefully that you guys had some better camaraderie than the U.S. Ryder Cup team had. Now, we've heard media reports that there was fighting going on, and then, you know, Patrick Reed made his statements. Other guys said that, you know, Patrick knew this, that, and the other thing. Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson both say that everything was fine. We've heard reports of them. I mean, what really was going on while the Europeans were hitting fairways, greens, and making putts?
Yeah, I think a lot of the news is still yet to come out. The Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, dust up, no dust up, fight, no fight, whatever it was, that doesn't bother me too much. Quite frankly, like I said, I'm just off a buddy's trip with a lot of really good friends. After 3 or 4 days, we're ready to punch each other too. So the fact that two friends have spent a week together and played together and been in the same team room the entire time, hanging out, and if something even did happen, I don't think that's anything major, and I wouldn't expect that to be a long-term lingering type of deal. But the Patrick Reed stuff to me, that's a little concerning, because I feel like he's throwing his teammates under the bus a little bit. He's throwing his captain certainly under the bus, and I have a problem with that. I see how that helps. I don't see how a guy who has sort of posed himself as ultimate team player comes away from this looking anything but like a heel, quite frankly, after saying that he wanted to play with Jordan Spieth and the captain never let it happen, and even though both Spieth and Bjork and other people of the team say that was never the case. They never planned on that this time around. They all knew their roles. Patrick Reed, it's not like he got stuck with someone he didn't want to play with. He was playing with Tiger Woods, whom he's idolized for his entire life. So the whole thing just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, so let's kind of look at each of the sessions. Friday morning, four balls. The U.S. wins 3-1. The only one on the U.S. side losing was Tiger and Patrick Reed. And, you know, other than like a chip in and maybe one other good shot, it seemed like, you know, Patrick never hit a good shot, and Tiger was, you know, kind of having to be very conservative, which I don't think is Tiger's really MO in this type of scenario. And, but 3-1, did you feel comfortable? Because I didn't. I felt like 3-1 was a steal for the U.S.
I thought it was fine. I thought that Jim Furyk stacked his lineup in a way where he said, we're on away soil. We haven't won in Europe in 25 years. We want to go out there with our 8 best guys in this format. And that's exactly what he did. I heard a lot of second guessing after the fact that Phil Mickelson was better suited for four balls than foursomes.
Yeah.
Yes, if you all understand that, I think if you got him on some truth serum, Phil Mickelson would admit that himself. But Furyk, he went aggressive right off the bat. He wanted to put his best players out there. He didn't want to save any players. He wanted to throw out the guys he thought were a little bit weaker, didn't quite have their best stuff at that point, and then say, boy, we went out there and didn't have our best players. We, let's say they were down 3-1 after the first session. Then everyone's saying, why didn't he draw his best guys in the first session? I think it's really easy to Monday morning quarterback this first session there. But I had no problem with anything Furyk did. I thought 3-1 was a nice little start for the U.S. team.
Yeah, and you know, so then we go to Friday afternoon foursomes. They get shut out, the U.S. squad does. Again, curious that Phil's playing with Bryson DeChambeau.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson turned around in the Tour Championship in the last couple of rounds, didn't play very good starting out. That would probably be the only one that you would really look at and go, was that maybe the best way to go? But it may not have mattered as well as the Europeans played in that session. And for me, I think Thomas Bjorn went the other way, as he put all of his absolute best guys out in that afternoon, and it showed.
It did. And look, Bjorn's guys, especially his four captains, stepped up, and especially stepped up in that session. Mm-hmm. Poulter played really well. Sergio Garcia teaming with Alex Noren in that session, they played really well together. In fact, Phil Mickelson has borne a lot of the brunt of the blame for the U.S. going down after that session. If you go back and look at it, Nicholson and DeChambeau actually might have played the best of any team, and yet they just got drummed by Sergio and Norin. I believe those guys were a combined 5-under on the front nine. I don't care who you were putting out for the U.S. team. They weren't beating those guys. So I know you want to place some blame. I know the U.S. fans sit there and look at it and go, but we've waited 2 years to go back to Europe, waited 4 years to go back to Europe and try to take the cup from them on their turf, and this is what we get in Friday afternoon. But quite frankly, they just played a lot better. I'm not pretty expecting to guess a whole lot of those decisions either. And again, Jim Furyk is going to take a lot of that blame as well for some of his decisions after the fact. I'm not sure I see a problem. Quite frankly, I'm a big proponent of get the guys out there, let them play, let them get some action, because those points on Sunday are always big. No matter what, they're going to be big points on Sunday. You don't want a guy who's been sitting there cold for 2 days going into Sunday without having played any competitive golf.
Yeah, Jason, after the first segment, I'm with you. I was really happy with 3-1. However, after the second session, when they won 4, I was already conceding that this thing could possibly be over. And it became real evident to me, and, you know, everybody's been talking about the fact that they want this and they like this more than they like. I mean, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Francesco said that he'd rather win a Ryder Cup than a major. Well, first of all, he's already won a major, so I don't know. But it seems they want it more, and that was evidenced by the rest of the weekend. I just thought it was after that second segment, I didn't feel real good about it at all at that point.
I think that's always been the biggest differential between the American players and the European players, and in that the American players would rather win major championships, mm-hmm. the European players would rather win a Ryder Cup, especially on home soil. And I don't see that there's any blame to place there. Again, if you told Tiger Woods, hey, we'll take 5 of your majors away and give you 5 more Ryder Cups, is that fair? Should we say, Tiger, hey, you might not be the greatest individual player of all time, be a great Ryder Cup player? I don't think he would trade. And I don't think anyone else on that team would trade either. It's really unfair of us to say, hey, you care more about your team and playing for your country and this entire aspect of things as far as trying to win a Ryder Cup instead of individuals. But I think it's bigger than that, too. I think this means more to Europeans, knock off the U.S., the big bad U.S. who are the favorites coming into it on paper every single time. I was in a pub in just outside of Paris and Versailles on Sunday night, and the European fans still singing songs. They were chanting. They had songs for each one of their players. It was fantastic. It was entertaining. It was fun to watch. Quite frankly, that does not happen in America. In America, the U.S. team wins or loses the Ryder Cup, everyone says, okay, what football game's on now? And they flip the channel to go watch that. It's just not the same passion as it is for them over there, both the players and the fans.
Again, we're talking with senior writer at the Action Network, Jason Sobel. And so now you know, you've gotten swept in the afternoon on Friday, and you know, you're rolling your same squad back out. For me, the only criticism I would really have of Jim Furyk would be rolling Patrick Reed back out on Saturday morning with Tiger Woods. And the other thing is, it seemed like Thomas Bjorn knew exactly where Tiger Woods was going to go every single time, because he kept putting Francesco Molinari and Fleetwood right up against him.
Yeah, and I think that there's something to be said for Thomas Bjorn just outmaneuvering Jim Furyk. And quite frankly, I was wrong. Coming into this, I grayed out the captains. I have dealt with Jim Furyk a lot more in my career than Thomas Bjorn. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jim Furyk is one of the most prepared golfers that I've ever seen. And I thought it would carry over to what he did as a captain. Frankly, I thought the first day was fine. I didn't see any moves either. Even, you know, like I said, Phil and Bryson together on Friday afternoon, I didn't think any of those moves were terrible. On Saturday, I saw a little panic. I saw a little, hey, what we did on Friday didn't work. Let's try some other stuff. And when you're a captain and you start throwing stuff against the wall to see what's going to stick, that's when it starts going sideways. And I think that's what happened for Furyk on Saturday morning. He sat there Friday night, Saturday morning before the before everything was going on, it's like, hey, let's try this. I guess it was Friday night when he made the pairing. Let's try some things. Let's shake it up a little bit. And I really think that when you're a captain for a year and a half going into this, and you've got a plan in place and you know what's going on, you've got to stick to that plan. And quite frankly, it's the captain that blinks first that is usually winding up being the losing captain. That's easy to say when a guy's down already and he's already on the wrong side of things as far as the scoreboard is concerned. But I saw a little panic from Furyk and the staff of vice captains going into Saturday a little bit.
Yeah, I almost felt like, you know, putting Bryson DeChambeau in that scenario for me might have been wrong. If you're going to put somebody with Tiger and you need points, you need somebody that's not going to get rattled. I would have personally stuck with everything that he had Friday morning. If he was going to roll all those guys back out again, or some combination of that, and throw Brooks Koepka with Tiger Woods and let Dustin Johnson play with Ricky Fowler again, and be done with it. I mean, it would have been interesting to see, because Brooks not going to get rattled. DeChambeau certainly looked rattled.
But again, I think that's part of sticking with the plan.
Yeah.
I think that if Tiger and Brooks had, over the last 6 months, never said to each other, hey, I think we'll play together, so let's play some practice rounds, let's get to know each other a little bit more, let's figure out how our games are can complement each other, then I think it's panicking to say, hey, let's on Friday night or Saturday going into the foursome session in the afternoon, let's switch things around. So I think you need to stick with the plan. Thomas Bjorn, I'm guessing, had index cards with his parents written down, ideal pairing for all five sessions or all four sessions and the order of the singles matches going into the week. And I would be surprised if he ever deviated much from that. Maybe a player here and there, maybe rest Thorbjørn Olesen wasn't really in the cards originally, but for the most part, I think Bjorn stuck to that original plan. Furyk didn't stick with the plan, so when we say, hey, Furyk should have tried this, should have tried that, again, it's deviating from that plan that I think would have been trouble in the first place.
Jason, before we let you go, you mentioned Tiger. What is your expectation for Tiger for the 2018-2019 season?
It's a great question. I expect him to continue improving. I think that he's finally got his feet wet a little bit. He's finally understood that he can go out there and win against some of the greater fields out on the PGA Tour. And I expect him to just continue playing even better. I believe he was 14th in the world as of a week or two ago. I'm not sure if he's dropped or gained a spot to since then. But the fact remains, he's inside the top 20, and he's going to accrue points that he didn't have from 2017. So I expect him to be probably a top five player at this time next year. Whether that means winning another major championship or not, I don't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. I wish I had an answer for that one. I've been struggling going back and forth for so long. I'm going to continue riding the fence because I don't know if he has another one in him. But I'll tell you this much. He absolutely can win a major. If you're saying Tiger Woods won't win another major, it's hard to argue that opinion. If you're saying that Tiger right now can't win another major championship, that's just wrong. He's proved it. He's been right there for the last two of them. I expect him to be right there in April come Masters Week, and we'll see what happens. It's fascinating. It's great theater game. I think it's perfect to see him back playing well, and hopefully we get three, four, five more good years out of Tiger, because I think all of us as fans of the game would like to see that, probably deserve that.
Yeah, awesome, man. I'm right there with you. Well, Jason, we always love having you on, and we'll catch up with you again pretty soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.